Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Gemara on Daf Kuf discusses the cases of pieces of meat that fell into a pot together, if it would be shaykh to pull out one piece or a different piece. The Gemara wants to know why would we not be able to paskin on a piece of meat, that a piece of treif meat that fell into a pot of kosher meat. You could take out any one piece of meat and eat it based on the principle of bittul beroiv. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses different things that are not bottle beroiv. They're not bottle because they have a chshivus, a barrier of davar shadarkei lamonos, which are dinim derabbanan. But in any case, the principle is clear that when something falls into a pot, say a piece of nevela or a piece of chelev falls into a pot of something with the same taste, it becomes bottle beroiv. As we know, we discussed in the previous year, there's the sort of tam ke'ikr, that if it falls into a pot and it's nikr b'taymoy, it has a different taste, it's a different thing, the dvar iser, then the pot of heter, then the heter bittul beroiv is no longer, because there's a tam that's nikr, we paskin. We discussed in the previous year, but in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that tam ke'ikr is d'oraisa, and d'oraisa, the fact that it has a taste of non-kosher food, one has a distinct taste, would ask for midarais until there is bittul b'shishim. Now, this is actually not the first time in Perek Ganosh that we've met up with the concept of bittul b'roiv. The Gemara on Daf Tzadikei, Daf Tzadikdal, Daf Tzadikei discussed at some length the concept of roiv, haloichach roiv, in a different context. What happens if there are different butchers and meat got mixed up, there was one butcher that shechted an animal and it was treif, it got mixed up, b'makulin, basa kosher, basa treif. Over there also there's a principle of haloich acharoiv, which means that any one piece one could pick up and assume that it's kosher, providing that a roiv of the meat in that place was kosher. There's the principle of kol kavuch t'mechza mechza dami, which we're not going to discuss now. But the principle of roiv is clear, that over there also we go basa roiv. It would sound to us like there are two different dinim going on here. There's one din of something falling into a pot and no longer being recognizable. There's no piece of meat here. It fell into the pot. It's bottled because it's not recognizable. It's not distinguishable. Masha'en came, the din of haloich basaroiv, which is each piece being a disparate piece of meat. Each piece, kishala atzmo, still has a chshibus. No piece of meat fell into the others. It's all, each piece of meat is separate. But we could use the principle of roiv, which is something we've met up with over and over again, this masechta, to tell us that the piece of meat that's b'fanenu is kosher. L'chayr, it sounds like two different dinim. What's interesting is that it can't be that it's really two different dinim, because they're both learnt out of the same pasuk. The Gemara tells us that achre rabin lehatois, which is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that actually talks about Dayanim in a Sanhedrin, in a Bezdin. If, let's say, there's a capital punishment case, Dine Nefoshois, of a Bezdin of Chov Gimel, Bezdin of 23, and 12 Dayanim Paskin one way, 11 Dayanim Paskin the other way, Haloich Basaroiv, the cardinal rule of Gon Basaroiv. We always Paskin like the Roiv, if it's 2 against 1, 12 against 11, 36 against 35 in the Sanhedrin Agadol, Haloch Basaroiv. And from there the Gemara learns out the dinim of Roiv b'chol ha-terikula, both the dinim of Rub de Issa Kamon, Rub de Las Kamon, that we learned about Lagabe Trefis and other cases in the first parak of Maseches Chulin, and the cases that we're talking about now. You have a piece of meat, you want to know, could you assume that it's kosher? You say Haloch Basaroiv, call the Parish Miruba Parish, the Sugya Daf Tzadikei, and we have the Sugya Bayos and Daf Kuf, and Daf Tzadikes, with this bit of Roiv when something fell into a pot. All those dinim are in the proverbial pot together, and they all learned out of the same pasuk. It would sound like there's a limit to how much one can take out of this pasuk. More so, let's deepen the question a little bit. Vashtet, what exactly is mavur in the pasuk of Achir Rabin Lahatos? In Achir Rabin Lahatos, l'cha'ira would seem to be somewhat of a signpost. If 12 dayonim say one way, 11 dayonim say the other way, 12 dayonim say that he is guilty. Against 11 dayonim, they say he's not guilty. Two Dayanim say that Reuven is chayef to Shimon $100. One Dayan says he's potter. So the Torah says we could assume that what the majority says is right. That would seem in our minds to have a logical outgrowth at any time. Roiv behemois in town are ksheirois, or roiv women are ksheirois, so then one could rely on a roiv. The same is true, we could hear a step further, that if meat got mixed up, roiv of the meat is kosher, we could assume that when we pick up a piece of meat, the piece of meat that we pick up is also kosher. However, the bittel b'roiv, when something falls into a pot, if I eat the pot of meat, I'm definitely eating the treif of meat. There's no assumptions over here. Well, if I eat the pot, or assuming I eat any bite from a pot, does it mean to say that I could assume that the bite, the spoon that I dip into the pot of meat cooking on the stove, definitely contains only kosher meat? No. The being that there's heat over here, there's a heat medium, the treifa meat, the nevela, the treifa, is nivla, is absorbed into the whole pot. It's for sure that when I take a spoonful of meat, of gravy out of the pot, cooking on the stove, I'm definitely eating something in the Nevela Treifa. What does Roiv tell me here? How can I use Roiv, which is the principle of assume it comes from the Roiv, it is the Roiv, assume it's like the Roiv, etc., etc. How can I use that to say about something where I know for sure that there's Treifa meat, and I'm eating the Treifa meat, I could eat the whole pot of meat, and it's clear that that I'm allowed to. That's the din of the Kubu Roiv. Rule away the taste that would render the halacha bittul b'roiv inoperative, and then I would need shishim. But till then, if it's min b'minoi, then the halacha is dam samech on roiv. So what's going on over here? Reb Chaim Brisker, as in all difficult questions, tackled this question, and in a few different places, it's not his writing, it's the writing of his talmidim, they bring from Reb Chaim an idea. They formulate a basic supposition. They say that the idea behind Dayanim, behind Sanhedrin, of relying on 12 Dayanim versus 11 is not the pshat that we have a psak din of 12 Dayanim versus 11. Meaning to say there's 23 Dayanim, and if 12 say that he's guilty, and 11 say he's not guilty, or vice versa, so then we rely with Samech on the 12. That means that we have a psak of 12, and we assume they're right, because 11 said no good. 11 said that not like the 12. Chaim says it's not the pshat. The Torah tells us that we need a bezdin of 23. We need a psak from 23. Where's our psak from 23? We have a psak of 12. True, we could assume the 12 know what they're talking about. They're paskening lamita shel Torah. But we, lamaisa, on the ground, we only have a psak of 12, verse 11. It says, Ubchayim, shteitin them, it's mavur, in this din, that we don't look at it as a psak of 12. We look at it, there's one unit called Sanhedrin, a bezdin. That bezdin is comprised of 23 members. The psak that issues based on roiv means that that is the psak of the bezdin as a whole. Bezdin as a whole, 11 paskin, not like the 12. No, says Reb Chaim. The pshat is that all 23 are issuing a psak in the name of the bezdin. The joint psak of the bezdin is established, is nikva, hukva, al yidei what the roiv of that 23 says. Says Reb Chaim, that teaches us something beyond just relying on roiv as opposed to miut. Relying that something comes from roiv, or it is like the roiv and not the miut. It says that whenever there's one unit, one entity, where roiv is this way and a miut is that way, we look at the roiv as the establishing what the identity of the entire entity is. If roiv of the Sanhedrin says that the psak is one way, then that becomes the psak of the entire bezdin. Translating that into a pot of meat, explains Reb Chaim, that when I have a whole pot of meat, we're roiv of the meat, it's all cooked together now, it's one indistinguishable lump. Remember, we're talking about min b'minoi, we're talking about nevela, fell into a pot of kosher meat. The whole pot now is nivla together. Heat established that everything gets mixed up together, it's one lump, there's nothing here that's recognizable. If there's a separate taste, that's something else. It's nicker b'taimer, there is no undistinguishable lump. But over here when there's a pot of meat cooking together, one can't tell what's from here, what's from there, it's all cooked together, they're not separate pieces. Over there also there's one entity called a pot of meat. What is the identity of this pot of meat? Is it kosher or is it treif? It's kosher. The same way the Sanhedrin paskins this way, in the name of all 23, there is only one entity on an entire pot of meat. Again, when there's a non-kosher taste, and that itself renders the bittul b'roiv inoperable. This is the way Reb Chaim explains this idea. To plug this into real halacha, I want to discuss a crucial machloikis rishonim, the Rashba and the Rosh, in the din of pieces of meat in the sugyan daf kuf. The Rosh is actually over here. The Rashba is in the Teres Habayis. Both shittas are brought down in Yerideya Simen Kuf Tes. Both shittas, and a third shita, which is somewhat of a compromise, which we'll discuss in a minute. The Rosh tells us that if there are 10 pieces of meat in front of us, 9 are kosher, 1 is treif, they're all mixed up together, and they're indistinguishable from each other, one is allowed to not only pick up any one piece of meat and assume it comes from the roiv, one is allowed to eat all 10 pieces of meat, one after another, or he's allowed to take all 10, put them in a pot, cook them together, and eat them. How is one allowed to eat the 10 pieces one after another? He knows he's definitely eating treifa. The Rosh explains that this is the principle of bittul b'roiv. The same way if it fell into the pot, we would say that the whole pot becomes indistinguishable. It's one entity and all of it is nothing other than kosher meat. The same is true when there are 10 pieces in front of us. Since Chazal established that over here also there's a principle of bittul b'roiv, as we said, this is, if anything, more doima, more similar to the Makor to the source that we find in Akhiram Lahadis of Sanhedrin. There are 10 pieces of meat, they all get mixed up together. We look at all 10 as one mix, one taruvis, and the din iser is poka. The din iser falls off of the piece of meat that till now is treif. It's mixed up in a taruvis. All of them become kosher. In that case, one can eat all 10. Chiddush, but that's what the Rosh says. And this is the pashtus la'alocha. The Rashba says no. The Rashba argues very vehemently on this idea, and he says, listen, he says, the din of roiv tells me that I can eat 9, I can't eat 1. The din of roiv only says that I could rely on any one piece that it's kosher. Now that would tell me that I could eat 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, every one I'm assuming comes from the roiv. But the last one, definitely, I can't assume that all of them come from the roiv. There was one piece that was treif, I would not be allowed to eat all 10 pieces. There is a subject of controversy amongst the Paiskim. Did the Rashba say also when one eats them all in one city? Or even when one eats them one after another, even if it would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on and so forth, but still, Lamaisa, he knows that one of them definitely was treif. Again, like I said, both sheets are brought down la halacha. The Rashba argues, as he says, the roiv can't contradict the mitzius, Lamaisa only 9 are kosher. And the million-dollar question on the Rashba is, if it's true that roiv cannot dispute the emes, roiv cannot dispute the fact that there was one non-kosher piece of meat, what is the difference between that and a whole pot of meat where we say that the whole pot of meat is kosher? That's for sure. The Rashba's moida, that if you have a pot, cooking on the stove, there was, let's say, 2 gallons of meat, sauce, gravy, meatballs, etc., on the stove, and a piece of treif of meat fell in. One would not have to throw out a piece of meat before digging in. It's for sure the whole pot is kosher. And like we said, since there's heat, it's for sure that a little bit of that nevela treifa was nivla, was absorbed into every inch of the pot. The heat mixes everything up equally, Chazal assume, and everything is spread around. You're definitely eating nevela treifa. So how could one eat it? What's the difference between that and eating all 10 pieces? Says the Briskerov, the son of Reb Chaim, in explanation, illumination of this Rashba, that of course there are 2 stages, or there are 2 separate types of roiv, even though in principle they're the same, in application they are fundamentally different. When there is a taruvis, which is yovesh biyovesh, where 10 things exist as separate items, such as 10 pieces of meat lying on the table, one of them is treif, 9 of them are kosher. There, each one has a din bifnei atzmoi. Each one has a din to paskin that it's kosher. They aren't a taruvis be'etzem. When something is a pot together, it's a taruvis together, there, by definition, since the one piece of meat does not exist anymore, so there, the only way of looking at the pot is as one entity. There is only one entity. The treif, a piece of meat that fell in, became absorbed, became melted into the pot, literally a melting pot. Once that's true, then one can only look at the pot as one mass of food. It's either kosher or treif. There's no in between. In halacha, that is. could be theoretically in our minds, some of it is kosher, some of it is treif. But in halacha, we have to look at it as one and two. Similar, he says, to the dayanim, where we look at all the dayanim, you can't have a psak of one dayan, there has to be a psak of the bezdin. All 23 have to pass in together. If that's true, then it has to be looked at as one mass. It has to be looked at as one lump, one unit. If it's one unit, it has one psak. If it has one psak, it's either kosher or treif. So the roiv has to be carried to its natural consequence. Since it's all one thing, the roiv has to be koveya, has to establish the identity of the pot as a whole. The pot is either kosher or treif. Since the roiv is kosher, the pot is kosher, period. This is the way Reb Chaim and his son Reb Velvel, the Briskurov, explain this concept. So again, we have a Rosh, where the Rosh seems to say what has to be said, that the same way we look at Bittul Beroiv as a natural consequence of Achiram Lahatos, and everything becomes Bottle, there is only one Psak of the Sanhedrin. The same is true if there are 10 pieces of meat, where we say, even though they're Yovish B'Yovish, they're 10 disparate items, since they're mixed together, one Taruvus, they all have a din, you can eat all them together, they're all kosher. Achiram Lahatos, Bittul Beroiv. However, the Rashba says, that can't be true. If there are 10 elements, there are 10 psakim. Each one has a psak that it could be kosher. But you can't eat all 10, because definitely all 10 are not kosher. Masha'enkin, where all of them fall into one pot. If it's all one pot, it's all one mass, it's all one psak, and therefore it's all awesome. This is the shita of the Rashba. The principles are the same. The application, according to the Rashba and the Rosh, like we say in Cholim. And to point out, in Simon Kuftes, the Rabbo brings something which seems to be only Dirabbonon. A Chumah Midrabbani brings the shita of Rashi, that the right thing to do with the 10 pieces of meat, Midaraisa, one can eat all of them. Midrabbonon, that shouldn't look like you're eating a separate piece of meat, which is definitely treif, one throws out one piece of meat. Once one throws out one piece of meat, one could rely that all the nine are kosher. Again, this is only Dirabbonon. Midaraisa, it would seem that one theoretically could eat all 10, even in one shot. So this is the long and the short of Bittul Beroiv, how it establishes itself by Lach V'Lach and Yovish B'Yovish. It might be nois in tam, no pun intended, to say over the famous story with Reb Chaim Brisker, which is not Lomdus, Halacha L'maisa. As the story goes, it's not clear who and what, but the story goes that one of the Rabbonim, who was somewhat antagonistic to the in-depth learning Mahalach and Yeshivas, approached Reb Chaim and said, look, price on these Rabbonim, so we really only need Rabbonim who know the cut-and-dried halakha l'maisa, so just learn what needs to be learned. This years of sitting in Valozhin or Slabotka, whatever it is, and being Mephalpa, learning the Eul, L'shem learning the Eul, really has no place. And he disparaged the whole derech of Limud in the Yeshivas. What Reb Chaim asked him is, okay, let's paskin halacha. Let's see if you can think clearly enough to be able to paskin halacha. Let's see if your mind is sharp enough without the yeshiva training to be able to paskin halacha. Chaim said, what would be the halacha if a piece of nevela fell into a pot of kosher meat? And there was a sofik of the rishishim. What's the background to the shayla? As we said, the din of min b'minoi, which we're talking about, bittul beroiv, where a piece of meat, nevela, fell into a pot of kosher meat, since it's indistinguishable in taste, therefore there's halacha v'alei pasuroiv, bittul beroiv. What happens if what fell in was a piece of meat, which was nikar b'taymoi? It wasn't a piece of regular meat, it was a piece of chelev that fell into a pot of chicken soup. There, since chelev has a different taste than chicken soup, it would be nikar b'taymoy, it would be distinguishable, and it would aso up the whole pot, until there would be shishim in the soup, keneged, whatever fell in. There we could assume that the taste definitely became bottle. We have the sugis over here, where theoretically one could be tasted by a kvela, by a chef, the Ashkenazim, the Ramos, Psak, and Sim Tzadches, in your days, not to rely on a kvela. Therefore, we always need shishim, keneged, the iser that fell in. However, Chazal were afraid that one would mix up these two dinim, therefore they instituted that by every teruvis, lach b'lach, wherever there was a pot of meat, that a piece of tray fell in, the same way it would be true by something which is nikur b'taymoy, min she'enoy b'minoy, the halacha is midrabonon, that min b'minoy would need shishim. Again, this is in order to safeguard one not mix up the dinim of min b'mini, min she'ene b'mini, they would go is it that lach b'lach, which is one mass, one pot of meat that was cooked up together, there was a heat mixing it all up, or even if it was cold, but it all dissolved together, there you would need shishim. As opposed to, let's say, pieces of meat on a table, if it would be min b'minoy, there you would only need roy, because that, you wouldn't mix that up with a pan of meat on the stove. It's a different type of case. But if it's a pan of meat cooking on the stove, you need shishim. However, since it's only midrabbanan, the halacha is gepaskid, that one only needs shishim if it's a vadai. If there's a suffix of the shishim, since it's a suffix derabbanan, suffix derabbanan lahokal. Now, she'enkin, if you had a piece of chaylev, or a piece of anything else that's nicker b'taymoy, basavachola, for instance, let's say there was milk that fell into a kosher pot of meat cooking, you would need midaraisa 60. If you had a suffix, if you had 60, suffix deraisa l'chumra, until you know for sure, beyond the shadow of doubt, that you have 60. So Reb Chaim asked this unfortunate rabbi who was going to be the victim of Reb Chaim. Victim. Reb Chaim was coming to defend the institution of yeshiva learning, in-depth learning. And Reb Chaim said to him, what would be the halacha if the nevela fell into a pot of kosher meat? And the fellow said, what? Triumphantly, of course, he said, it's a halacha psuk in Shulchan Aruch, that since midaraisa it's botel b'roiv, only midarabon you need shishim. If it's a suffix, you don't know if it's shishim, it's mutter. Said Reb Chaim, what about the fact that the piece of treifa meat, if it was a goyish piece of meat, nevelo, also was not salted? It didn't go through the process of melicha. It was not salted, the dam didn't come out. Dam is an issa deraisa, and it's nikur b'taymoy in kosher meat. L'chayu should definitely need 60. We don't know how much blood was absorbed in the meat. It could be totally soaked up with blood after the shkita. Therefore, you need connecting the whole piece of meat. Shishim to me mevatel adam. L'chayu, that's a zavik deraisa. Fellow scratched his head and he said, yeah, you're right. Briskerov, you're right. One needs shishin. Reb Chaim said, so you're telling me that midaraisa you would have to be machme. If you don't know, you would have to be machme because of the dam. Don't you know that dam of lushul is the rabbonon? The Gemara says later on, Reb Moshe and Paskin Malacha, that dam is only also midaraisa if it's raw, if it's fresh, if it's cooked, which is the case in every piece of meat that was not salted, that was cooked, it's only also midarabbonon. So it's only asim derabbanan, it's only nisim derabbanan, you only need shishim, bevana. If there's a suffix, whether you have shishim or not, it should be mutter. So what's the halacha? Make up your mind. So the guy gave up, he got Reb Chaim's point, end of story. It's just to bring out the halacha, super of these halachas. Now, I'd like to develop this discussion somewhat further, in a different angle somewhat. So now we've discussed the dinim of bitul b'roiv, haloich b'saroiv, in the context of issa v'hetim, min b'minim, min shaloi b'minim, and so on and so forth. As we know, if it's min shaloi b'minoi, if it's something that's nikah b'taim, we need bitul b'shishim. What I'd like to discuss is the din of bitul b'shishim a further outgrowth of the din of bitul b'roiv, meaning, is there a din bitul b'roiv that we rely, we say that something is hukva, something is the identity, of a mass, of an entity, of a bezna, of a body, a judicial body, or a pot of meat is established based on what the roiv of it is. Is that the same thing as shishim? There's a pot of kosher meat cooking on a stove. A piece of chaylev that has a different taste fell in, or a piece of fruit which is orlo, klayakar, whatever the case is, or basim. Cholav, let's say cholav fell into basim. So we say bitl b'shishim. Is that a din of bitl? Is that a din of bitl, like bitl b'roiv? But over here, it's more, you need more, we don't rely on a roiv because, you can taste it, so it's not bitl b'roiv. But when there's shishim, that becomes the bitl? Or it's a totally different type of din? Ba'etzim, it's not bitl, there is a bitl b'roiv. You can't taste, even if you could taste the non-kosher meat, but it's not nicker, it's not distinguishable, ba'etzim would be bitl b'roiv. However, since there's a taste there, the whole pan has a taste of non-kosher food, so one has to get rid of that taste. The only way to get rid of that taste is by diluting it in such an amount that you no longer taste it. If there's 60 times the chelev taste, then you won't taste the chelev, so the whole pan becomes mutter. But not that shishim is a separate type of din. It's not a din, it's not a lomdus of din deraisa. All it is really just a practical way of saying that the food no longer has a tam isim. Is that true or is that not true? So I'd like to share with you another Reb Chaim. And again, this is also brought la'alocha. Not the Reb Chaim, but the source of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim speaks about, in the Sefer Chedusha Reb Chaim Alevi al Rambam, discussed extensively this issa v'heter. Issa v'heter is one of the classic poiskim, and dina issa v'heter that the Yerideya relies heavily on, the Torah and the
Neser Kalim in Yeridayas and Tzadik Chesem and onward, Pezayin and onward that discuss Batul Cholam and Taruvis. This Vehet is written by one of the later Rishonim after the times of the Rabbi Rutenberg. And he writes over there an interesting halacha. He says that if a piece of meat, let's say for argument's sake, a kazayis size. A kazayis of meat, kosher meat that is, falls into a big pot of meat, at the same time, I'm sorry, let me correct that, a pot of, a kazayis of meat, of kosher meat that is, fell into a pot of vegetable soup. So we're talking about something, the meat is definitely nicker, it happens to be kosher meat, that's not the problem. The problem is that at the same time, a kazayis of cheese fell in. Possible cholov. Now, a kazayis of basa and a kazayis of cholov together, it doesn't get more treif than that. That's classic basa cholov. The problem is, not the problem, but the saving grace in this pot of vegetable soup might be that there's 60 kazayis in a vegetable soup. You cannot taste the meat. You can also not taste the cheese. Neither the meat, being that there's 60 times the amount of meat in the actually only need 59 kazayisim because you have the kazayis of cheese. You, in 60 kazayisim of one kazayis of cheese and 59 of vegetable soup, if you take a spoonful, you will not taste meat. By the same token, one kazayis of meat with 59 kazayisim of vegetable soup, you will not taste the cheese. Is that basa b'cholov? The Issa v'Heta says no. It does not become basa b'cholov because you cannot taste the basa, you cannot taste the cholov. Great. Says this Vehetter, but what about a two kazayis piece of meat and milk, meat and cheese that were cooked together? One took a piece of meat, melted together a kazayis of meat, together melted together with a kazayis of cheese. So now we have a shtickle two kazayis, and it fell into 60 kazayis of vegetable soup. Now what do we do? Do we have 60 connected one because the mice of the 60 renders the taste of the meat indistinguishable and it renders the taste of cholov indistinguishable, says the Sevater, no, it's asur. Since the basur and the cholov have already been asur, they've already become basur and cholov, one needs 120 kazayisim neged the two. What's the pshat? L'chayim mitzius, in terms of basic, a chef would not taste the difference. The regular chef didn't learn in Valozhin, didn't learn in Slabodka. A regular chef, if he tastes the pot, will not taste meat, he will not taste cheese. What is the difference between these two pots? The one that fell in a kazayis of meat and a kazayis of cheese separately, and the one that a two kazayis size piece of meat and cheese combined together fell in biyachad together into the vegetables. So what's the difference? So, the Avdei Miluim, in his tshuvas at the end of the Sefer, other gedolei achrayim were miskasha, the Prima Gadol, were miskasha with this problem, the Isvata, they said it's only with the Rabbanu. Since it looks like a two kazayis piece of nevela, even though it has two different tastes, one, a taste of cholov and a taste of basa, even though we don't taste the cholov, we don't taste the basa, with the Rabbanu we said we need 120 because, not to get mixed up with other cases where you need 60 keneged, you need 120 keneged two kazayis. Great. Reb Chaim says it's mashma the Isvata, it's deraisa. And he explains as follows. He says that bittul b'shishim is not just a mitzius, it's not just a tactical strategy, how to get rid of the taste of iser, if you're mevatel it, like the Rambam says, ba'itza miyutoi. It's such a minute amount, ba'itza miyutoi, that you wouldn't be able to taste the chelev, you wouldn't be able to taste the cholav or the basa, or the whatever it is of iser. So, it's not there anymore. If you don't taste it, it's not also. He says, no. Once a piece of treif falls in, if it's something that would give taste, it means, the same way there's a din of achiram lahatois, where it's chalahetet, like the Rosh says, it's poka, the iser, once we establish the entity, the identity of the pat, as sure, the shemo iser is poka, mealho iser, the same is true by a piece of meat, which is nikah, the time it falls in the vegetable soup, it should aser, since it's min shaloi b'minoi, it has to be chal on it, a heter, that it no longer has a koyach to aser. All love this, Reb Chaim says. It's not just a mitzius that we no longer taste it. It's a chalois, it's a process, a din, of bittul that takes away, normally it's nikah b'taima, it has more chashivas, it doesn't become batul b'roiv, but it can become batul b'shishim, since shishim is the norm for when taste becomes batul, So that ratio would render it so small that it wouldn't ask for even shalom yaminu. Therefore, he says, if there's two kizayisim of iser, v'chalois bittel, it only takes place at the ratio of 120 to 2. There is no ratio of 2 to 60. That's 1 in 30, not 1 in 60. If we talk about getting rid of the taste befoil, getting rid of the practical ability to taste, the taste of basu, the taste of cholov in the pot, that would be true at a rate of 1 to 60. Even though there's two kazesim, there's basu and cholov. However, if we talk about a process, a din, a hafkor, a removing the shame or issue from something, that needs 60, not in a practical way where you taste it, it needs it in a longish way of a ratio, it's a din, it needs to connect 120. So what Rav Chaim says, again, if you open up the Issa Veheter, it looks like that's what the Issa Veheter is saying, not like that. Rav Chaim himself has a problem accepting that as truth in the Issa Veheter. So this is what Rav Chaim says, in which case it would tell us that Bittul B'shishim is a further outgrowth of the din of Bittul B'roiv. And Lamosho, if there is Xeris HaKosta, that something does not become Bittul B'roiv. Rashi says on Tzadok Chesem, based on Kodshim, there is no Bittul B'roiv. Maybe there is no Bittul B'shishim either. Maybe there's no Bittul B'shishim either. It happens to be, we learn out, Zeroya B'Sheila from the wing of the Korban Nozer. Gemara says in Tzadiches, we learn out Bittul B'shishim. That needs further discussion. Why by Kodshim there would be a Din of Bittul B'shishim, not a Din of Bittul B'Roiv, if the two are similar in concept? Let's leave that aside. An interesting place where we see the these two concepts coming to fore, again, we're saying that Bittul B'shishim is either it's a Bittul B'metzius, or it's a Lomdash, it's a Din Bittul, which is Chal, which is a halachic process, not a metziyustik process, not a practical process that takes place. Rashi seems to indicate that both are true. Interestingly enough, Rashi says on Daf Tzadik Chesam Aleph towards the bottom, Rashi seems to indicate that Chronim learn up Peshitas Rashi. Tosfos is mashmen that way. The Tosfos bottom of Tzadik Ches. Seems to learn up in Rashi. Even though the Gemara says over there that you can get the ratio of shishim, you can get rid of taste, either by tasting, as we said with the kvela, we are not saimachan kvela as ashkenazim, or the process of bittul b'shishim, either you can be mevatel by knowing how much you have, or you get somebody to taste it, a goy to taste it. Rashi seems to say you need both. You need a numerical shishim, plus you need to be able not to taste it. And the question is, Taisa has a problem from the Gemara and Rashi, the Ramban has kashas, and Pshat and Rashi, but let's leave aside the rayas of the Rishonim. Conceptually, what is Rashi saying? If 60 is only a practical process that we no longer taste, the taste of chelev, the taste of orlo, or what have you not, in the pot of kosher meat, then why would I need to taste it and see there's no taste, plus I need shishim? It would seem clear that Rashi is being siachis. Rashi feels that there's a need for both types of shishim. Mitzad, the piece of meat that exists in the pot, Rashi holds that you have to get rid of, so to speak, halachically, you have to get rid of the piece of treasure meat, or the chelev, or the arlo that fell into the pot of kosher meat. You have to get rid of that. The way to get rid of that is by being mevatel it numerically with a ratio of 60 to 1. It has to be gotten rid of the same way halacha gets rid of roiv, and that exists even when the pieces are dry. Well, let's say in the Dayanim, B'chol HaTorah Kulu Dizroi. So over here also, since over here it's something that gives time, it needs shishim. That's halach, one halach. You need a ratio of 1 to 60. Besides for that, there's also another fact. It happens to be, Rashi holds, that 1 in 60 usually gets rid of taste, which is why it's a sheer choshuv to do the bittul process that normally Roiv would take care of. Besides for that, there's another halach. Once in a while, 1 in 60 you could taste also. The Gemara says there's certain things you can taste 1 in 60. If that's true, you also need to taste it to make sure that there's no taste. Again, Rashi is not la'aloch. I'm just pointing out, conceptually, you see both processes in Rashi. One, the mitzius of bittul b'shishim, that there's no longer a taste, a defined taste. And the other din, which is a din, the same way there's normally a din of roiv. Over here, one needs more than a roiv. Let's say by Truma, they institute, by Truma and Orla, they institute, you need one in 200. The chshivus of something becoming bottle, since it's something that would normally flavor give taste to the whole pot, one needs 60 connected to one, since that's a larger share, which would normally be mevatel on top. So again, these are the two processes of bittul b'shishim, and we discussed, really goes back to what we discussed in bittul b'roiv. The bittul b'roiv is the blending together of one entity, where the establishment is, the identity of the whole pot is established with the roiv, and there's also the din, where we look at each piece of meat and we say we're allowed to eat it. There's also two processes in bittul b'roiv, as well as two processes, like we're saying, or two ways of understanding in bittul b'shishim. Just to mention on a halachic note, like we said, when we don't rely, Ashkenazim, the Ramon, Sadechez, does not rely on Kfeila. One of the reasons that we don't rely on Kfeila is we don't rely on a goy, even though the Rishonim say we do, but we have reasons to say that we don't rely on a goy to taste. So, it's an interesting story, a famous story that took place in the old city of Yerushalayim about 120 years ago. There was a chasna, and there was one of the tallow candles with dripped wax, trefa, chalev, into a pot of meat, and it was a dogger sheh ene b'min, and it had to be tasted. Ashkenazim don't rely on taste. It was not known whether the amount was 1 keneged 60. The Svardim, the Mechaber and Simon Sadechez, do rely on kvelo. So they called an Arab in from the shuk. The Arab tasted the meat. He said he can't taste the candle. The effect of the candle is indistinguishable. Therefore, it was mutter for Svardim. And then a Svardi came along and ate the food. Because the Acharonim say we only don't rely on a goy, but on a yid we definitely would rely on his testimony that the food is kosher. So that was the chap, the quick chap of Rabbi Shula Diskin in Yerushalayim, the old city 120 years ago, to have the goy taste the food after it was not distinguishable. But Taimoy, he then had a Svardi, eat it. When the Svardi said it wasn't nikud, then Ashkenaz and Barakasna were able to eat.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.